Well, it's truly wonderful to be with you on this Sunday, and it's so nice to have so many visitors here who are celebrating graduations, and we just welcome you here at Avery. Today we are thinking about those who have given up their lives in defense of our freedoms, and they did that in the midst of warfare. Today, as we look to the book of Jude, which we'll be going through over the next few weeks, we're going to be thinking about another type of warfare, and that is spiritual warfare. And so as we think of on this day, those who gave up their lives for our freedom, let us think about those who passed on the faith to us so that we could be spiritually free. Before we read God's word this morning, let us go to God in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would give us understanding. We pray that your Holy Spirit would illumine our minds so that we can comprehend your word to us. Lord, we pray that you would renew our hearts this morning and that we would turn to you, that we would turn away from the distractions of this world, and that we would turn our minds and our hearts to you, the one who gives us true purpose and true peace in life. Lord, help us not only to hear your word this morning, but help us to apply your word to our lives so that we can witness for you, so that we can proclaim your truth to those who are lost and to those who are hurting. We pray all this in your name. Amen. Please listen to God's word. Jude, a servant here, this could be translated, another way that this is translated is a slave. He says here, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. Jude was the half-brother of Jesus. James was also the half-brother of Jesus. And we have here Jude writing to believers in Christ who are facing heresy in the midst of their church. People had come into their church and were teaching false doctrine and were living immorally and telling other people within the church to live immorally. He goes on, to those who have been chosen or called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. Those who are in Jesus Christ are chosen, they are loved, and they are kept. Jesus holds on to us. There are also, as he says here in verse 2, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Those who are in Jesus Christ receive his forgiveness. They have his mercy. They also have his peace. In other words, they have a supernatural contentment to live in this world. And they also have his love, which are in abundance. Dear friends, he says, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, what Jude is saying there is he was intending to write a different letter to these believers. He had a different topic that he wanted to write on. But there was a more pressing issue. And he continues, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. In the next three verses, Jude gives some Old Testament examples of those who turned away from God. He continues in verse 5. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. He's talking here about people, God-fearing people who were delivered. They came out of the Exodus, but unfortunately later turned away from God. And you can look at Numbers chapter 32 to learn more about that. And then he says in verse 6, and the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. These are angels who in Genesis chapter 6 pursued human passions, who fell away from God as well. And then in verse 7, in a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. In today's passage, Jude is writing to believers expressing a deep concern that the Christian faith is under assault in their midst. We see this very clearly here in verse 3. Jude says to these believers, he says to them, contend. Contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. In other words, what Jude is saying here to these Christians is that they need to stand firm in the faith. They need to stand firm for Jesus Christ despite all that's going on around them. As we think of this passage this morning, what we realize is that this passage is not restricted to the first century. This is a passage for us today as well. This is a passage for the 21st century. We know in our own society today that there are many distractions from Jesus. We know that there are many false beliefs that exist in our world. There are many false beliefs that exist in our society. We know that there are challenges that confront the Christian church and confront the Christian faith and Christian believers today. We realize this. We see thinking that is not Christian in the entertainment world, right? We're familiar with this, right? You know, it challenges what we believe as followers of Jesus Christ, as biblical Christians. We know that sometimes in our universities, there are beliefs that run contrary to Christian faith and teaching. We're aware of this. So as we think about this in our own society today and the challenges that are posed to us, we need to remember here the words of Jude. And he said what? What did he say in verse 3? He's calling the believers to contend for the faith, and we need to do the same as well. We need to be like what Paul says at the end of Ephesians. We need to put on the full armor of God and do spiritual battle on the Lord's behalf. Now, contending for the faith is not caving to whatever the world says, but rather communicating the truth of Jesus Christ and of His gospel to the world in a way that is winsome, in a way that is loving, in a way that challenges our world in terms of how unbelievers think. We need to seek to share the truth of the gospel so that they can have their lives changed, so that God can change their lives. Now, I want to say this morning, as we think of this first chapter in Jude, I want to say very clearly that this is not something that is optional for us as believers in Christ. We can't come to church and say, okay, well, that's nice, Pastor Jeff, but, you know, I have another way of living when I leave here. We need, each one of us need to contend for the faith. And we need to do this with the Lord's help, through the help of the Holy Spirit. We are called to go out into the world, into our spheres of influence, and share God's light. We are, in other words, not to be sitting idle. We can't merely be comfortable Christians, taking it easy on our lazy boy or on our nice sofa, right? We need to be doing what the Lord has called us to do. And we see this clearly, right? In the Great Commission in Matthew 28, Jesus said, go and make disciples. It's the responsibility of each believer. It's the responsibility of each church to go out into the world sharing the gospel message, being a witness for Christ, sharing the good news. See, the world is not going to come into the church, right? So Jesus commands us to go into the world. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, we hear these words. And he said to them, go into the world, proclaim the gospel to all the creation. This is what we need to be about. This is who we need to be as believers in Jesus Christ. Luigi Tarisio was found dead one morning within his rather Spartan home. This was a gentleman who did not have a lot of physical belongings. But over the years, he had accumulated 246 exquisite and amazing violins. One of the violins he had was a very rare, special Stradivarius violin that was 146 years old. Very, very expensive. This was a strange man and a very sad situation at his death, because this individual merely collected violins, very expensive violins, but he never allowed them to be played. They never made a sound. Think of that in terms of us this morning as followers of Jesus Christ. We love the church. We love the forgiveness and peace that only Jesus offers. We love the fellowship of the church. We cherish God's word. We love the purpose that Jesus gives to our lives. We love these things. But how many of us here are like Mr. Tarissimo, making no sound, never speaking a word about Jesus, never sharing His truth? I want to say this morning, I want to say it very clearly, the gospel cannot merely be cherished. It also has to be told. One of the struggles in the life of the church is that oftentimes we're more comfortable doing acts of service, right? And acts of service are a very important part of our Christian faith and our Christian life. We need people to help with the grounds. We need people to help in soup kitchens. We need people to do the work of the church. Those are all important things. But we also need to share Jesus with our lips. We need to make a sound for Him. And we need to communicate His truth to a lost and hurting world. As we think about this passage here from Jude this morning, we are given clear orders on what we're to do as believers. Contend for the faith using words and a spirit of love. But we also, as we think of this passage, we need to realize that we need to know the Christian faith if we're going to do this. We need to be growing in our knowledge of Jesus Christ and of His Word. We need to do this so that we can defend the faith both inside the church but outside the church as well. We need to be on guard. Do we, as believers in Christ, do what we believe, does it match up with Scripture? Does it match up with historic Christian teaching? Is what is being taught and preached biblical? In other words, do we have the ability as believers to discern truth from error? This is what we're called to do as Christians. And this is what Jude wants the believers he's writing to do as well. Their church had been infiltrated, right? With unscriptural teaching, with teaching that wasn't in line with historic Christian orthodoxy. And not only was that bad enough, but they were teaching immorality as well. So there was a double problem that these Christians were facing. This morning, as we think about what we believe, we need to ask ourselves, do we have a high view of Scripture? Do we affirm that the Bible is God's word? Is it reliable? Do we believe it's reliable? Can we communicate that to someone who doesn't believe it? If you want some good resources, let me just cite two. If you're looking for a book on the reliability of the Old Testament, there's a great book by Kenneth Kitchen called On the Reliability of the Old Testament. Kenneth Kitchen was for many years a professor at the University of Liverpool. He's a professor of Egyptology. And over about 40 years, he put into a file all the positive arguments to show the truthfulness of the Old Testament. And then at the end of that time, he wrote his wonderful book. Another good book that's easier to read, that's much, much shorter, is a book called Are the New Testament Documents Reliable? By F.F. Bruce. I encourage you to look at that book. Or if you're looking for another book, you could look at Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Christ. We need to know what we believe, and we need to be able to communicate it to the world. I want to say this morning that as Orthodox Christians, we affirm that God's word is trustworthy. We also believe that the Bible has both a divine and human authorship. Christian faith holds that we come to know God through His words. John Calvin said, "Scripture is like a pair of spectacles which dispels the darkness and gives us a clear view of God." So, as Paul says, faith comes by hearing. We also affirm the divinity of Christ. We affirm His miracles. We affirm His life, death, and resurrection. As Christians, we proclaim to the world that Christ reigns on high and that He lives today. We proclaim the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's main responsibility is to point us to Jesus Christ. We affirm the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there is a lot more that could be said here, but I will refrain in the interest of time. But the point I want to make is that we need to know the Christian faith. And if we're going to contend for it, we need to know it. Paul outlines this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I read that during the first service, and I encourage you to look at it as well. But in that passage, Paul talks about the true faith that was given to him, that he received. And then he spread it where? To the Corinthian church, to the Corinthian believers. The Christian faith has been transmitted here to Avery Presbyterian Church. There are many faithful people down through the generations that passed on the baton of faith to you and to me. And what Jude is saying here in the first chapter is that we need to receive that faith, we need to protect that faith, and we need to do what? Okay, wake up, everyone. Wake up, right? We need to contend for that faith, that biblical faith, that Orthodox faith in our world today, despite what anyone else may say. Because, you know, we're going to have people, maybe you're a young person, maybe you will encounter someone in a college classroom who wants to take you away from Jesus. Hopefully you'll have Christian professors, but maybe you'll have some that aren't, right? Maybe you're an older person and you are being seduced by the views of the world away from Jesus. We need to go back to God's word. We need to hold before our minds the truth of the Christian faith, and we need to contend for that faith. In other words, we need to live out our faith in the world. We simply don't want to know about God's love, right? We don't need to merely understand God's love in our minds. We need to experience and participate in the realities of God's love in our own lives. We need to participate in the reality of His grace and His forgiveness in our lives. And we need to share that with other people. We cannot merely have an intellectual understanding of Jesus' life and His resurrection. We need to share that resurrection with other people, the resurrection life that we have now. We need to realize that we are a people that no longer have to be weighed down by our sin and our guilt. We have been set free. And we need to share that life-transforming message and pray that as we do that, that God will set other people free. I mentioned a few moments ago about Paul. His life was transformed. And as we think of his transformation, Jude's life was transformed as well. Jude and his brother James, during Jesus' earthly life, did not believe that Jesus was the divine Son of God. Jude, during Jesus' earthly life, did not believe that Jesus was God incarnate. And yet God worked through people to proclaim the message to Jude, and he came to faith in Jesus Christ. And in the first century church, the name of James and Jude are very, very prominent. As we think about contending for the faith this morning, and as I close this morning, I want us to be thinking about five things. And if you have a pen, please write this down. Because as we know, in 2018 now, right? 2018, contending for the faith outside the walls of the church is not going to be a Sunday walk in the park. It's not going to be a picnic in the park, right? It's not going to be easy. But you didn't call me to be your pastor to tell you just to do easy things, right? I wouldn't be a very good pastor if I just got up and said, okay, guys, let's just do easy things. Let's sit back in the recliner and eat potato chips and watch TV and do easy things, right? That's not what you called me to do, right? Anybody? Right? Am I right? Okay. Sometimes with my kids, I'll say, Meredith, you know, this is going to be really hard. I don't know if you're quite old enough to do it. And then Meredith will want to do it right away. So maybe I'll use a similar psychology this morning. I want to say this morning, this is not going to be easy to contend for the faith. But I can guarantee you that as you do this, this will help you in your own relationship with Jesus Christ, and you have the potential to change other people's lives. Sometimes we forget the power of Jesus Christ and his and what that means for someone who is just for the first time experiencing the freedom and the new life that only Jesus offers. So let's not forget that. And as we do this, as we contend for the faith, let's think about these five things. First thing we need to do is fear God. Our world likes to fear man, to fear humanity. Our world cares more about what other people think than what God thinks. But this morning, let's remember this. Fear God, not other people. In other words, be more concerned with what he thinks than what other people think. The Bible is very clear on this. In the Old Testament, we're told what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When you and I come to our final moments before we meet Jesus face to face, what's really going to matter at that moment is not the opinion of what so-and-so said or what some friend said. What's really going to matter is what Jesus thinks. His opinion is what matters most. So let's remember that this morning as we seek to contend for the faith in a spirit of love. The second thing we need to think about is this. We need to put our trust in Jesus Christ and rely on him. Not in our own wisdom, not in our own strength, but in him. The third thing we need to be thinking about as we contend for the faith is that we need to seek God first. Our world, our culture says, seek what? Seek possessions first. Seek money first. But God's word says, seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6, verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So as we seek to contend for the faith, what I'm saying here is that our priorities need to be in the right place. We need to put Jesus first. We need to put God first in our life. The fourth thing is we need to reject the false philosophies of our world. We need to have the ability to discern truth from error. Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, chapter 2, verse 8. He said, "Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from human learning." In other words, what Paul is saying there to the Colossians is that each one of us as believers needs to cultivate a godly mind. We need to be thinking about things in a Christian way rather than being taken in by worldly thinking. The fifth and last thing I'll leave you with this morning as we think about what we need to be thinking about to contend for the faith is we need to remember what Jesus Christ did for us on our behalf. He sacrificed himself. He shed his blood on the cross for you because he loves you so very much. And he was tormented on the cross. It wasn't an easy death. And yet he did it out of his great love for you. Will you serve him? Will you serve him in the way that Jude did? What did we see here in verse 1 of this text? We see here Jude saying that he was a servant, a slave of Jesus Christ. May we be found faithful. May we be found to be servants as well. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, help each one of us to leave here this morning not seeking to take the easy path, not seeking to merely be comfortable in the recliner, but help us to speak your name, to make a joyous sound for you in our world, in our community, and in our neighborhoods. Help us to do this, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen.